Hey, Reach Paramount, welcome to our podcast. We really hope this message encourages and challenges you as you walk with the Lord every day. Enjoy this message.
God is good, amen?
Praise the Lord, amen. Amen, all glory to God, amen. Amen, just stay standing, hallelujah. Just close your eyes with me, amen, and lift your hands to the Lord. Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Almighty God, Lord, we just want to say thank you, Lord. First of all, for all that you are doing in our lives on a personal level and all that you're doing here at the Reach Church and also in Barcelona and all around the world, Lord, you truly get all the glory. Because, Lord, we could never do any of these things in our own ability, in our own wisdom, our own strength. No, it's only because of you. And so for you, God, you truly get all the glory. I pray that tonight, God, that the message you placed in my heart to minister to this body of believers, your sons and daughters, I pray that it's going to minister to everyone in a very personal and a powerful way, God. And I pray over God, over everyone, for the spirit of wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of you, God, that the eyes of everyone's understanding be enlightened and give everyone ears to hear, God, what your spirit, God, is saying to them personally. And Lord, I confess my uttermost dependency upon you. For Lord, I know that apart from you, I can do nothing, but through you, I can do all things. And so Lord, I receive the anointing, the wisdom, the words to speak tonight. And I thank you, Holy Spirit. I don't have to worry about what I'll say in this hour because you'll give me the words to speak. And we just love you, we praise you, and we give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
God is good.
Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Amen. Praise God. Thank you so much. Amen. Pastor Omar. Amen. And Letty and the whole church here for having us tonight. We're so grateful to be here with all of you. Amen. I have a couple brothers with me also from Barcelona. Amen. Brother Isaac and Juan. Amen. And one more brother from Barcelona is up north right now. So praise God. And so it's a joy to be with all of you. And they get to see the big family they're a part of. Amen. Hallelujah. So it's been a great joy for them to be here with us. You know, as you guys see real quickly, we're packed out and where we are, but by the grace of God, April 14th, we have a place, a hotel, we're going to be able to start having services. You understand, this is a miracle because we've been searching. And so praise God, we have a place. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So God is so good. Now tonight, amen, I was really praying about what to minister. Amen. And I felt to minister about standing firm in the faith. Can you say amen? So tonight, what we're going to look at is spiritual warfare, because each of us face it on a daily basis. And if you say it's not true, you're a liar. Amen? Because the truth is, we all, amen, experience spiritual warfare on a daily basis. It's unavoidable. Amen? But the good news is we can get the victory over every single attack that comes our way. If we do what the Bible says to do. Hello, somebody. Now, the Bible teaches us that we have a real enemy. And I want to set a foundation tonight by reading Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 18. Look what the word of the Lord says. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints." Can you say amen? Now, as these verses make it clear, we
are in a real battle with a real enemy, okay? Who, and this enemy of ours, I mean, his mission statement for our lives is to steal, kill, and destroy. See, don't be deceived to think that you can stand against him in your own strength. Amen? No, as we read, we need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might and put on the whole armor of God to be able to stand against him. Listen to me, never underestimate the power of the devil. Listen to me, he's not compared to a lion and a dragon, you know, for no reason. No, no, not only is Satan strong, but he's also wise and he's crafty. He's the great deceiver. Hello. Who seeks to blind our minds, amen, from the truth of God's word and from really believing it. You gotta understand this. Because why is this his goal? Because every area that you believe the word and walk in obedience is an area that you will walk in victory and freedom. But every area, amen, that you're living by a lie or doubting God's word is an area you will struggle. And the truth is you're in that area, you're beat up spiritually and you go through major mind battles. Isn't this the truth? See, we're involved in a truth battle. Say, we're involved in a truth battle. That's why Satan is relentless in his attacks to try to keep you from believing and obeying the word. He wants you to be wavering. He wants you double-minded. Why? Because a double-minded man is what? Unstable in all his ways. He don't care if one minute you're believing, but the next minute you're tripping. Because you're like this. You're double-minded, and you're unstable, and then you're struggling, then you're messed up. You understand this? Now, the fact that Paul used the word wrestle when describing the war that we are in makes it clear that we are in a fight. And at times, how many know that, man, it can really feel like a wrestling match? If you're going to be honest, at some point today, you felt that wrestle. How many honest people are in the house of God? Isn't this true? Today, at some point, you felt the wrestle. You felt the warfare. And since we're fighting against enemies in the spirit realm, we need spiritual equipment for both the offense and defense. And as we read, God provided the whole armor of God for us. That means, amen, we better not neglect any part of the armor of God. Because Satan looks for the unguarded areas of our lives, because those unguarded areas, they give him access. You understand this? Now, I want you to look back at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 14. And I want you to notice how many times the word stand is used. Okay? Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to what? Stand. Hello? That you may be able to stand. Stand what? Stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore. So when you've done all that you can do to stand, he's saying stand therefore. Amen. Sometimes it feels like all you can do is stand. Hello, somebody. Tell your neighbor to stand. Tell your neighbor, you need to stand. Huh? Tell him you need to stand. Say, I need to stand. Yes. See, that's the position that we're to take with the armor of God in this spiritual warfare, amen, against the devil and his angels. We're told repeatedly in Scripture to stand. They don't have the Scripture up there, but I want to read one more to you. 1 Corinthians 6:13, Paul said, be on guard, stand firm in the faith. Be courageous, be strong, amen. See, in this battle, we must take our stand, speak the word, amen, and refuse to be moved. Now, the word withstand in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13, is the same word that is translated resist in James 4, 7 and 1 Peter 5, 9. That's why the New Living Translations translates Ephesians 6, 13, therefore put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist. You understand that? So that you'll be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. I like that. Now the outline biblical uses of this word is described this way. To set oneself against, to withstand, resist, oppose, to set against. So I want to look at these two verses real quickly. James 4, 7. I want to look at this right here. Look what it says. We know this verse. It says, James 4, 7, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Say that with me. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Tell your neighbor, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Understand that? We have it right here. That's why, look, now look right here, the word to submit literally, look on the screen here, look on the, to submit literally means to line up under. The word was used of soldiers under authority of their commander. It's a military term to be subordinated or to render obedience. That's why unconditional surrender is the only way to complete victory. Listen to me. If there are any areas of your life that are that is kept back from God, that is not under his lordship, amen, and areas of your life that are not in line with his word, listen to me, and it can be things like unforgiveness because you're choosing to do things your way. It could be doubt. It could be sin. You name it. Any area that's not lined up with God's word or under his lordship is an area, listen to me, that will always be a place of access for the enemy to attack you and torment you. This is true. This is the area that you'll always have major mind battles. This is true. This is true. Got real quiet. I heard you guys hooting and hollering earlier. Amen. And listen to me, friend. That area of your life will continually be an area of struggle, of double-mindedness, of doubt, cause anxieties, fears. It will continue to be that way until you come to a place of trusting and obeying God and his word in that area. And listen to me, here's the truth. You can stay that way for the rest of your Christian life. This is true. This is true. The truth is this. Many of you who have been saved for years, there's still maybe an area that you're still inwardly battling. You're still double-minded. You're still wrestling. Amen. Here's the truth. At the root of most of our struggles, 9 times out of 10, it's an area we're not trusting God. It's real simple. I say 9 out of 10, just gives a little wiggle room, but I think it's 10 out of 10. I want you to think about it right now. The area you're struggling, the area you're battling, it can be rooted some way, somehow, and not trusting God, trusting his word, trusting his power, trusting his promises, trusting his timing. It has to do something with trust. This is true. And until that area, you trust the Lord with all your heart and stop leaning on your own understanding. And it's until that happens, it will be an area of struggle. So that means that area will continuously be an area of access for the enemy to attack you. And the Bible says, don't give place, nor give place to the devil, nor give place to him, amen? But that also means that every area that's submitted to Jesus' lordship is a closed door to the devil. And every area that you're trusting the Lord with all your heart is a closed door to the devil. See, the Bible says, don't give place to the devil, right? Right? Ephesians 4:27, nor give place to the devil, right? Now, Jesus makes an amazing statement in John 14:30. Look what he says. He says, I will no longer talk with you, for the ruler of this world is coming and he has nothing in me. Why did he have nothing in Jesus? Because Jesus was completely submitted to the Father's will. He said, I didn't come to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. He said, watch this statement. I always, do the things that please him. So there was no place for the enemy in Jesus' life because there was complete surrenderance, amen, complete obedience to the Father. And this is the point, that every area that's not submitted, every area that we're not trusting, every area that we're doing things our way is a place of access for the enemy. Hello? Tell your neighbor, close the door to the devil. Say, trust and believe. Trust and obey. Trust and obey. Look what 1 Peter 5:8-9 says. Be alert and of sober mind. Why? Why? Why does he say this? He says, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to play patty cake with. No, looking for someone to devour. See, he's not playing games. The devil ain't your buddy. He ain't your friend. He wants to destroy you, your family, and everyone around you. We have a real enemy. You got to realize this. We're in a real war with a real enemy who is not our friend, who really wants to steal, kill, and destroy you. And so what does the next verse say of how we're to overcome this enemy of ours? Verse 9, resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of the believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. See, we need to constantly be alert because the devil and his angels, amen, are seeking an opportunity to attack us and devour us. You understand this? Now, Peter said to resist them, standing firm in the faith, which takes continuously living in accord with the truth of God's word. Again, every area we live in line with God's word is a closed door to the enemy. Look on the screen here. Say this out loud. Every area we live in, lying with God's word, it closes the door to the devil. It's pretty simple, right? Every area we live in line with God's word closes the door to the devil. Are you seeing this tonight? That's why every time he tempts you or attacks you, you have to stand firm in the faith. Amen. By trusting the word and declaring the word, and by God's strength, refuse to give in to the temptations or the fiery darts of doubt. And if you choose to do this, he will flee. It may take a moment, But if you continually stand firm, continually declare the word, be steadfast, immovable, he'll flee. Submit to God, right? Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. I want to show you what this looks like. I want to show you of what it really looks like that when the devil comes and attacks, when he attacks you, that you're to stand firm in the faith, declare the word, and not be moved. And if you'll do that, he'll flee. I want to show you this biblically. And I want to show you this, what it looks like to resist the devil. And it's found in the example of our Lord. Matthew 4, 1 through 11, look what it says. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you're the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. But he answered and said, it is written. Say, it is written. Man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and he said to him, if, Satan loves to come with those ifs, right? If you're the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, you shall give your angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, it is written, say it is written. It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdom of the world and their glory. And he said to them, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and him only you shall serve. Then, say then. Then the devil left him. And behold, angels came and ministered to him. Did you notice? Catch this. Did you notice that Satan didn't flee after the first time Jesus quoted the scripture? You got to catch that. He did not flee the first time he said, it is written to the devil. No, Jesus, listen to me, friend, had to resist the devil and continuously quote the word three times. Say three times. Three times before he fled. You got to catch this, because the Bible tells us, amen, you know, to submit to God, amen, to stand firm in the faith, to resist the devil, and he'll flee from you, right? And we see this example, Jesus doing it himself. You got to catch this. See, he didn't flee after the first time Jesus quoted the word. And if he didn't flee, listen to me, friend, the first time after Jesus Christ, the Son of God, if he didn't flee after the first time he quoted the word to him, he's definitely not going to flee from you the first time you quote the word. Wow. Starting to understand now, aren't you? No, you may quote the word, but he is persistent. And he's, listen to me, and he's gonna test if you really believe the word you quoted. He's gonna test, amen, if that's really a sword in your hand or a Nerf sword, you know what I'm saying? Hello? He's gonna really test if you really believe that word you're quoting. Because we've been taught in the church, oh yeah, just quote the word. And the devil's like, I hear you. But do you really believe it? I know you know Christianese. You know how to quote scripture. You know how to do these things. But do you really believe it? That means you must not give in to his lies or his temptations when he keeps shooting his fiery darts after you quote the word one time or rebuke him. No, you must be strong in the Lord, resist him, stand firm in the faith, and continue to declare the word of the Lord. And watch this. And while doing that, not dwell upon his lies or let those fiery darts while you're standing cause you to start leaning on your own understanding. Listen to me. I've come to realize, man, I got a real revelation from Proverbs 3:5. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And right after, it says, and lean not on your own understanding. The moment you lean on your own understanding, you're not trusting God with all your heart. And the moment you lean on your own understanding is the moment you give access to the enemy. This is true. Tell your neighbor, stop leaning on your own understanding. Tell your neighbor, stop tripping and start trusting. See, you must resist him, listen to me, friend, by not giving in to any negative feelings of fear, of doubt, of condemnation that comes to you from the fiery darts. See, listen to me. Part of standing firm, listen to me, part of standing firm in the faith, and watch this, is also choosing to trust God even when feelings of fear or anxiety try to grip you. Let me show you this. Let me show you this scripturally. Well, look, pay attention to this. Psalms 56, 3 and 4. This is a powerful verse. Watch this. He said, whenever I'm afraid, say whenever I'm afraid. How many know when you're afraid, you have all kinds of emotions and feelings, amen, and even maybe some battles that try to come to your mind? Hello, somebody, right? Amen. You know, our feelings are attached to our thoughts, okay? So when you're feeling overwhelmed, it's because what's consuming your thought life. So watch this. So whenever I'm afraid, that means, man, even in the midst of having these feelings and having these emotions and having these things that are just coming my way, when I'm afraid, listen to me, friend, when I'm afraid, look what he says, I will trust in you. Listen to me. Trust is a choice. It's not a feeling. You ain't feeling all good right there when you're afraid, but you're making a decision that I will trust the Lord. Years ago, I remember I was having a battle with trusting God, and I'm like, Lord, I want to trust you, and this and this and that. And I said, Lord, after so much time of battling, just wanting to trust him with all my heart, I said, Holy Spirit, how do I do this? How do I trust? And the simplest answer I've ever heard, trust is a choice. It rocked my world. And then I see it all through scripture. I will trust the Lord. I will trust the Lord. I will trust the Lord. It's a choice. Say, trust is a choice. So when I'm afraid, I will trust in you. Say that. When I'm afraid, I will trust in you. Watch this. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me? See, are you seeing this? This is what we need to do, amen. When fear tries to grip you, when those fiery darts try to come, you need to make a decision to stand firm, amen. When I'm afraid, when anxiety tries to hit me, when everything comes against me, I'm gonna take a stand and I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in his word, amen. And I will declare his word because I believe his word, amen. The reason Many don't do this. Here's the hard truth. It's because they put more faith in their feelings than they do in God's word. It's the truth. People put more faith. I know it's not popular to say that, but it's the truth. Christians put more faith in their feelings than in God's word. And why has this happened? I'm gonna tell you why. Because the feeling is tangible. You're experiencing it. It consumes you. And it comes with thoughts. It comes with fiery darts. And then it bombards you. And if you're not careful, it consumes you and it paralyzes you and you get stuck in bondage. And you can't function. You're saved, but you're struggling. You're saved, but you're going through it. How many know what I'm talking about? Say this out loud. God's word is true regardless of how I feel. It is. God's word is true regardless of how I feel. See, the problem is that if you don't really believe that, you could be all good, just having a good old day. And all Satan has to do is just go, all of a sudden put a little fear, a little thought of anxiety, a little worry in your mind. And all of a sudden, literally from like this, you just go, from trusting to tripping, right? And then you just go through it. Oh, right, double-minded. Oh, I don't know if I'm saved anymore. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's gonna happen. Amen. See, because Satan knows you put so much faith in your feelings, all he has to do is shoot a fiery dart to get you consumed by your feelings, because our feelings are attached to our thoughts. All he needs you to do is just dwell just a little upon that fiery dart to open the door. Because once it's open, we know the saying, you give the devil an inch and he takes a mile. So with that being said, you've got to learn that after you rebuke the devil and you're standing firm in the faith and you've quoted the word, that you need to learn to ignore your feelings. You need to learn to give the devil the cold shoulder. You know, some of you sisters know, you're pros at that, amen? Back in the days, them girls, homeboys trying to holler at you, what's up, girl? Like, psh. You know what I'm saying? Some of y'all need to do that to the devil, psh. Psh. Right? Some of you sisters are laughing like, yeah, that's how I was. Huh? Praise God. You got to give the devil a cold shoulder. All right. Amen. I'm telling you, you got to learn to ignore him. Amen. You got to learn to stop giving so much faith to your feelings. And trust God's word. And I promise you, if you'll do that, he will flee and you'll walk in victory. One of the areas that I remember years ago, it was like the icing on the cake for me to really get deliverance from a stronghold that was in my life that I was having these internal battles with. And I feel like the Lord had showed me that the bottom line to just kind of like, I already had the truth. I already spoke the truth. I already declared the truth. But sometimes I would get caught up in the feelings and the emotions. And the Lord simply told me, and show me, just ignore the feelings. And I'm telling you, in that moment of warfare, and you learn to just ignore that feeling, it may be there for like 10, 15 more seconds, but as you just shift your focus and keep going forward, it's gone. I promise you. I promise you. Try it. Try it. Tell your neighbor, try it. Say, Lord, help me do it. See, if Satan can get you to doubt the word when he attacks you, again, you may quote it one time, but as he keeps attacking you, if you don't really believe the word, you won't keep quoting it. You may quote it one time because this is what we've been taught to do. But if you don't really believe it, you won't keep quoting it. You won't keep standing. You won't keep declaring. But you'll be moved by those feelings. And then what happens is it can result in you being beat up. For some, it can even result in sinning. Amen. And for some, it can even lead to backsliding. No one backslides overnight. It started with a thought. And then they lost the battle in their mind. And eventually they walked away. Now I want to stress, you may get the victory today, but he'll be back to attack you tomorrow. I know, we don't like that part. After Jesus got the victory, look what Luke 4:13 says. When the devil had finished tempting Jesus, he left him, he fled, until the next opportunity came. Oh, man. You got the victory. He fled, but he's looking for the next opportunity. He's seeking whom he may devour. He's waiting for the next opportunity. You must understand that here's the reality. I tell this to those I disciple. You will be in a war until you go home. Get over it. I promise you, and I'm not trying to prophesy death. I'm speaking truth. I'm speaking Bible. And if you just understand this, it's just, then you'll understand, okay, now you just got to go to war, right? The bottom line is every single day of your life, I promise you, until you go to heaven, you will experience warfare. It's the truth. Now, that doesn't mean we have to go through life struggling. No. We got the victory. But we only have the victory, and we will only walk in the victory if we apply God's word. You understand this? You can't just be a what? Hearer of this word. You have to be a doer. You understand this? So God's already given us all the keys of how to walk in victory. Right? There's no such thing as a victory without a battle. So if everyone says, oh, I walk in victory, well, then you've been through some battles. Right? So just get over it. You're in a battle. And it'll happen every day of your life until you go home. That means daily you need to put into practice the things you're learning today and the things your pastor and the leaders are discipling and teaching you to do. And also, I want to emphasize, it's very important that you have a strong daily walk of reading your Bible and praying, because you cannot survive in your own strength. Can you say amen? Amen. Jesus clearly said, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So I hope you're seeing today, the devil mainly attacks you in the areas your faith is weak. The areas you're having a hard time trusting and obeying God's word in. I hope you're seeing that one of the main battles in the spiritual warfare we're all involved in is a fight to believe God's truth over the enemy's lies. So this is why it's so important, amen, that you examine yourself and ask God, where am I disobeying you? Where am I doubting you? Where am I not trusting you with all my heart? And ask him that these areas where I'm doubting, that they would turn to places of great faith. Because here's the thing. It's not until the word that you know becomes revelation that it really brings transformation in your life, that it really brings great faith to your life. Many of us have a head knowledge of scripture. We can quote it. We could probably teach it in Greek and Hebrew, do a Bible study on it, but even not believe it at the same time. We can teach all these things and not even believe it. I mean, when I say not really believe it, I know we believe it intellectually, but I'm talking about believing it by revelation with conviction. There's a difference. There's a big difference. Every area your faith is the strongest is an area the Holy Spirit made the Word of God come alive to you. And so the areas right now that you're battling, say, Holy Spirit, make the Word come alive to me. Help me to believe your Word with all my heart. So therefore, when the Word, when you believe the Word with all your heart, then the Word of God becomes a sword in your hand. This is true. I'm telling you, then it's the spoken word. It's spoken with power. It's spoken with authority. Then it's a real sword in your hand. But it doesn't become a real sword in your hand until it comes alive to you. Now, to summarize everything, I want you to look on the screen here. I'm bringing this to a close. Look on the screen here. If you combine many of the verses we read tonight, it would read something like this. Our fight is not against people on earth, but against principalities, against powers, against the powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, and against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. This is why you need to put on the full armor of God. So whenever the devil attacks, you'll be able to resist him, standing firm in the faith. And while you are standing, speak forth the word. Then he will flee from you. After the battle, you will still be standing. All that right there was just scriptures that I pieced together. And that's right there. That's exactly how we get the victory. That right there, because it's all Bible. Now I want to read one more scripture to you. This is very important scripture. 1 Peter 5:9. Pay attention to this verse. This is very important that every one of you see this verse. It says, resist him, standing firm in the faith. This is the point I want to focus on. Because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. See, this verse makes it very clear that you're not alone in this battle. Sometimes the devil makes you feel like you're the only one experiencing this. Sometimes the devil makes you feel like you're the only one having these battles, amen, with fear or anxiety or doubts. But that's a lie. That's a lie. Because if everyone would be honest in this place, there are moments, there are times, amen, where fear grips us, where we have battles, where we have wrestles with doubt, and we have all these different feelings and emotions that try to attack us and try to hold us down. And if you say it's not true, again, you're a liar, because every single one of us have these battles. Every single one of us face this. And it's important to know this, that my goodness, every one of us are experiencing spiritual warfare. So what does that mean? We need to pray for one another. We need to encourage one another. We need to pick each other up. When one is feeling down, you be there and pick them up. Don't be a Pharisee and just condemn everybody. Love your brothers and sisters. Speak life into them. Encourage them. You can do it. Be a Barnabas to them. Be a cheerleader. Amen. We need each other. We don't need friendly fire. We need, amen, each other to build each other up. Can you say amen? I hope tonight that you got something. I hope that this spoke to your heart. And I hope that this equipped you with some wisdom of how to get the victory. Amen. I want you to close your eyes with me. Amen.
Thanks so much for listening to this message from Reach Church Paramount. To stay connected with us, follow us on Instagram or Facebook at Reach Paramount. To give and support this podcast and ministry, visit our website at reachparamount.com/give.